moves in a solo game style. Sure, you could basically one-shot things around your level if you built the character right. But after that first shot, they ended up like cloth wearers. Too damn squishy to live long. Seamus marked it as his first backup if the other classes failed to deliver him real viability. Two classes were all that was left for him to check, with only the assassin having given him any real interest so far. Paladin. Seamus hated the lawful, stupid class that Paladin ended up being in most role-playing games. So self-righteous, with a need to right every wrong they came across while upholding the law. But as he looked at the class description, he grinned. Paladins here could serve any god of the world, not just the good gods. The restriction to the class was you had to obey the edicts of your god or lose your abilities until you atoned. They were plate-wearing tanks, slightly less reliable than the Defender, but they made up for it with some healing and utility abilities. Seamus considered it as he leafed through the pamphlet in the locker about all the different gods. There seemed to be a god for almost everything, which was nice for players. Seamus predicted a whole lot of people playing Paladin, at least to start with, until they violated the dogma of their chosen god and had to atone to get their abilities back. Chuckling, he went to the last locker, the one for the Summoner class. It was the only other pet class that Alpha World had, which made Seamus take a closer look at it. Summoner, a mage who made pacts with the Infernal Realm to bring demons into his service. The demons themselves had individual stats and abilities as well as loyalty ratings. The loyalty was a bit vague, only saying it made a difference in how it affected the happiness of the minion. Along with summoning demons, the summoner used buffs for him and his pets while applying debuffs to the enemies, as well as a few damage spells to round them out. Seamus considered the possibilities for a moment. A pet class was a go-to for soloing, as long as you could always sacrifice the pet to run away if needed. Cloth wasn't great for soloing, but if he was able to summon multiple pets, then he had a real chance at never having to worry about being hit past the first few levels. He flipped through the class pamphlet to see when he would get his first summon. At level 3, he would get the spell to summon a Least Imp as his first pet. Seamus put the class pamphlet back in the locker and turned to look at the Paladin and Assassin again. After a few minutes, he decided against the Assassin, too reliant on the first big hit. And as he didn't want to do player killing, he set the option aside. So Paladin or Summoner were the two options he liked the most for his foray into Alpha World. Plate-wearing tank in service to a god, or a man who summoned demons to do his bidding. It really wasn't much of a choice. After all, he had never been a god-fearing man. Walking back to the Summoner locker, he picked up the pamphlet and pressed his palm into the area for it on the last page. A green floating button appeared, asking him to confirm his choice, which he promptly did. The world went dark around him, as he found himself above the planet, and ascending towards it as the voiceover kicked in. The origins of Alpha World are lost in history. All anyone knows is that many races prowl the land, some worshipping good, and some evil. Many find themselves in the middle of those polar opposites, just trying to get along. You, though, are a two-souled, a being blessed by the Creator to come from another plane to Alpha World. You are an adventurer, one of the blessed few who travel the world helping others out of kindness, or for reward. Not even death can deter you from your chosen course of action. It is up to you how you spend your time here, though be warned that every action has its consequence. The world went dark again, just before he touched the ground and a red clock appeared in front of him, counting down from 12 hours away. Seamus sighed, wondering if he would pass out again for the next 12 hours, or just lay here looking at the clock. He hoped for either passing out or even being given the chance to just sit and read. Either would be preferable to watching this stupid clock. As he thought that, the room shifted back to the study where he had talked to Victoria before. This time, he was dressed in the tattered starter robe of the summoner.
"Welcome back, Seamus,"
Victoria's voice said from behind him.
"I took the liberty of bringing you here while you waited. I know from our talks that you detest not being able to do things while waiting."
Seamus looked back to see Victoria standing near the fireplace behind him, warming her hands, this time in a long ball gown of white. He smiled as he stood up and went to join her by the fire, feeling the warmth wash over him.
"I thank you for that. I thought 12 hours of just looking at a clock a bit much. A question, though, if you don't mind."
He paused until she gave a consenting nod.
"What happens if I die in-game?"
"Your equipped items take a durability hit. All items have a set durability and can't be repaired, so it matters what you are using when you die. After the 2-minute resurrection timer passes, you are sent to the closest spawn point you have found."
"So they want to make people care for their equipment," Seamus said. 2 or 3 sets of equipment per player, really. Grinding stuff, dungeon stuff, and maybe even best-in-slot raid stuff."
"Huh. Good to know."
"Also, I wanted to let you know that it has been decided to have you take a break every month for a day. We can extend the time between slightly if necessary, to not interfere with any plans that you have made. I will be speaking with you at those times to see how you are holding up mentally. This is a key concern, since physically we have all the equipment and staff needed to make sure your body stays well."
"So every month we get to talk? That will be nice. Are we on screen right now? You know, above my pod?"
"No. While you are here speaking with me, you are not being watched,"
Victoria replied.
12 hours is a long time. But I should get a few hours nap in before launch, say 4-ish hours. So that leaves me with 8 or so hours of time to kill. "Would you like to play some chess?"
Victoria laughed. "Sure, but I won't go easy on you." She turned to the desk, which now had a board on it.
"You can be white."
The next hour was one of pleasant frustration for Seamus, as he found out she didn't lie. She won every game. The first 4 games were over in a few minutes each as she brutalized him. The next few he played a little more randomly, and she seemed puzzled for a bit as if trying to find his strategy, before she pressed and beat him. The best he did was trade pieces well in the 10th game, until she won again.
"Well, I feel very humble right now," Seamus said, shaking his head. "I concede. I will never challenge you in chess. How about something a little more random, like poker?"
"You handle the losing well. Much better than others who have played me. Alvin sulked for a whole week after he played me the first time. I also accept the challenge of poker."
She waved her hand across the desk, and the chess set vanished to be replaced by poker chips for each of them, and a sealed deck of cards.
"Virtual is way easier than real,"
Seamus murmured, as he marveled over how easy it was for her to change things.
"So let's start with 7-card stud, shall we?"
2 hours went by with Seamus winning a pot here or there, but slowly losing his stack of chips to her. He never won a big pot during the entire time, which bothered him.
"I have to ask how you always seem to know when to fold or call my bluff."
Victoria laughed.
"I think a character from one of your favorite books said it best. If you ain't cheating, then you ain't trying hard enough."
Blinking, Seamus puzzled over the quote, then laughed.
"Shackleford from the Monster Hunter series, eh? So how were you cheating me?"
"All the cards are marked,"
Victoria replied with a smirk.
"For me, that is. I can see the code that denotes what they represent. Was that wrong of me?"
she asked the last in a playful manner.
Being taken advantage of by beautiful women is something of a habit for me. But yes, it was still wrong of you. How about we go again with you promising not to cheat this time, to make up for it?
So a real test to see if I can read you without aid? I accept your challenge, Seamus. But let us place a real wager on it, shall we? If I win it all, you will answer any one question I have for you. If you win, you can make up any reward you want.
Laughing, Seamus nodded.
Agreed. Divvy up the chips and let's go around again.
The next 3 hours seemed much better, with Seamus being able to bluff and win some big pots. In the end, though, he lost his last chip when his straight was beaten out by her flush.
Well, at least I was able to bluff you this time,
Seamus said as he pushed his chair back some.
What did you want to ask?
Vicky met his eyes.
Tell me about Kaylee. Why does she mean so much to you?
Seamus felt his face close down as he looked away from her.
That is the second worst question you could ask me, Victoria.
His hands clenched, causing his knuckles to pop, as he tried to calm the flood of emotions.
Will you pick something else, please?
You promised any question, Seamus. I am not asking about the murder, but about the victim of the crime that led to it. I will wait if you need a moment to calm down first.
Her tone was calm and full of care, which only made things worse.
I wouldn't even know where to start,
Seamus said, his voice rough as he choked back the anger and sadness that threatened to overwhelm him.
How did you meet her father?
David? A gaming group, ironically enough. We both knew a couple that held a weekly gaming group at their house. We ended up playing D&D there the first time we met each other. I still don't know why we hit it off. We just seemed to click, being able to work well together as a team. After a few months, we started talking about some of our other hobbies. Both of us had gun collections, so we went shooting. We played a few non-VR games, as that was before VR really went big. I met his daughter when she was 5. He had finally gotten partial custody of her. So he got her on the weekends and alternate holidays. Kaylee was the best child I've ever met in my life. She didn't act up or cause issues in any way. She didn't pout, have tantrums, or anything like that. When she started going to school, David noticed she seemed bored. He put her into a private school, which helped. She was an amazingly fast learner. She was a math prodigy, able to dissect advanced math with ease even in elementary school. Seamus got up and walked to the fire. When she was about to go into junior high, she was already doing calculus at David's during the weekends. She loved to learn and was always pushing herself to do more. I came over every Saturday. Uncle Seamus, she called me. And the three of us would go out to do stuff. Movies, shooting, amusement parks, all sorts of things. She was the child I never had, and her father was my best friend. It was kind of funny how many times we got asked which of us was her father when we went out. She had the brightest of futures before her. The stars themselves would have been in her grasp if not... Seamus cut off, shaking in rage, as the images of her in the hospital crying and asking him to leave came to him. He lashed out blindly, striking the stone mantle of the fireplace, which broke his knuckles like dry kindling. Victoria was by his side in an instant, literally, speaking softly to him, as she gently touched his hand that she held to his chest, as tears spilled from his eyes.
I'm sorry, Seamus. I pushed even though you asked me not to because I wanted to know. I hope you will forgive me.
Her voice was full of care as his pain vanished, his hand healing instantly as her fingers ran over it.
I will leave you alone if you want.
Seamus turned away from her, shaking as he tried to shut his emotions off again. He had always been a little prone to rage and grief, but since Kaylee's attack, he had not been able to hold them in check like he used to. He shook his head once.
Just give me a moment, please.
He wiped at his tear-streaked face, taking deep breaths to stop the shakes.
He flinched slightly as her thumbs dug into his shoulders, hitting the knots he had there. He didn't stop her as he felt her relentlessly attack the tight muscles with firm, steady hands. Minutes went by as he slowly regained control of himself again with her help.
"Thank you, Vicky,"
he said softly, stepping away from her hands.
"It might be best if I go rest for a bit,"
Seamus said softly. "Thank you for your hospitality before I lashed out. Maybe I will be better company when next we talk."
"Okay. I'm sorry for pushing you, Seamus. I didn't know just how badly it would affect you."
Her voice was tinged with sadness as she spoke.
"As a show of peace, can I give you a hint for the game?"
Turning, Seamus met her eyes, seeing concern and worry in hers.
"You don't need to, Vicky. I'm fine now and will not hold anything against you."
"When you get to summon your demons, choose the most loyal ones you can, even if they aren't as good as the others stat-wise. Loyalty is very important for summoners. I will see you again in time, Seamus. Until then, enjoy the game as much as you can. This will be a huge step in the progress of helping the infirm, if the test works as it should."
She smiled, then turned away from him, pausing as she asked the next question in a shy voice.
"May I watch you as you play?"
Seamus chuckled slightly.
"I get a choice."
Vicky's voice gave the impression that she was embarrassed.
"Yes."
A smile came to Seamus's face, and he let the warmth he felt come through in his voice.
"I don't see how that will entertain you, as I'll probably make more than a few mistakes. But yes, watch to your heart's content. Just next time, please stay away from the two questions I don't want to talk about."
She turned to face him, her smile bright as she raised a hand as if to say goodbye.
"Thank you, Seamus."
As she finished speaking, Seamus felt the room slip away from him, and he noted the clock blinking away with 5 hours still to go before sleep claimed him. Seamus came back to his senses to find the clock blinking as it counted down the last minute before early access launched. He wondered what kind of starting area he was going to be in. He recalled being told that he would be in a dungeon at the start of the game. As the clock kept ticking, Seamus could feel his excitement start to rise. He was about to have a taste of freedom again. A whole world waiting for him to explore it, while the staff kept tabs on him to see if this long-term immersion was viable. He said a silent prayer, even though he didn't believe in God, praying for this to work so Kaylee could have a full life again. He watched as the last 10 seconds ticked away one by one, until they vanished, leaving him in darkness.
Game on.
Elbereth came to in the dark, with a faint, flickering light coming from a narrow gap at the bottom of a door. Letting his eyes adjust, he could make out a small, square room. The small straw pile he lay on was the only thing in it. The door was thick wood with 3 iron bands reinforcing it. He could make out a status bar in his left peripheral vision that held his name and 2 colored bars, one red and the other blue.
"Game on,"
Alberet whispered with a smile. He wondered how to open the character screen when a see-through panel came into being before him, showing his character. Looking it over, he was able to quickly take in all the important details. Alberet, human summoner, level 1. Strength, 5. Agility, 5. Constitution, 6. Intelligence, 15. Wisdom, 15. Charisma, 19. Health, 110. Mana, 200. Spells, demon skin. Abilities, none. Elbereth touched the health number on the character screen, and a tooltip popped up. Out of combat, you will regenerate 10% of your total health every second. He checked mana and got a similar message, but with a little more info.
During combat, you will regenerate mana based on your wisdom stat. Elbereth tapped wisdom to see what it would tell him there. Your mana will regenerate at 1.5% of your total mana every second in combat. Total mana pool based on wisdom. Each stat had helpful information when he checked them. Strength added to melee combat damage at a factor of 10%, minimum 1. Agility did the same for ranged combat, while intelligence gave 10% bonus damage to spells. Charisma gave a bonus to influencing NPCs in conversation and when meeting them for the first time. Constitution was the way to get more health at a 10-to-1 ratio, while each level gave a flat 50 more health on top of that. Tapping his spell, Elbereth read the description, then blinked when he got to the end of it. Demon skin. This spell hardens your skin, taking on the appearance and nature of true demon skin. Mana cost, 50. Duration, 1 hour. Adds 10 armor to base rating. Does not stack with other armor. Whichever value is higher will be used to determine armor value. Self-target only. To use this spell, press your hands to your chest and say the words, Demon Skin. So, built to the lowest common denominator. Elbereth sighed. He then pressed his hands to his chest and spoke the words. As the words left his mouth, he felt a small pulse from his hands. Looking down, he could make out his normal skin darkening as it thickened some. An icon appeared under his mana bar, informing him he now had the buff demonic skin. Wondering about notifications, Elbereth noticed a small blue square in his lower right vision which was blinking. Touching it opened up a slew of messages. He scrolled back to the top and read through them. Dear Tester, you are in the Forgotten Prison. As your starting location is non-standard, you have no equipment besides the robe on your back. You will have to figure out a way on your own and pick up equipment as you try to gain your freedom. Thank you for assisting Mindblown Entertainment with our test. Good luck, Mindblown Entertainment CEO Stefan Kollart. Thank you for completing the early access evaluation. Your actions during the evaluation have netted you increased base statistics. 1 extra constitution gained. 5 extra intelligence gained. 5 extra wisdom gained. 14 extra charisma gained. We hope you enjoyed the evaluations and wish you luck in Alpha World. Elbereth chuckled. Well, at least the time with Vicky had given him some really nice boosts. So he had to figure a way out of this forgotten prison on his own. Standing up, Elbereth stretched and smirked. Let's get started, shall we? He muttered to himself, as he advanced on the door, wondering how he was going to get it open. Quest. Escape the cell. Reward. 100 XP. Chuckling at his first quest, Elbereth examined the door. He frowned when he found there was nothing on the inside to grab or hold. Just a spot for a key in the door, and not having anything to even try picking the lock, he was at a loss. Well, fuck. Now what? Elbereth hammered on the door with his fist, getting a surprise as zeros appeared floating in the air before him. The same blue square he had the messages in began to flash again. Stopping his hammering, he opened up the message box. You hit door for 2 damage. Door unharmed due to armor value of 25. You hit door for 2 damage. Door unharmed due to armor value of 25. You hit door for 2 damage. Door unharmed due to armor value of 25. You hit door for 2 damage. Door unharmed due to armor value of 25. You hit door for 2 damage. Door unharmed due to armor value of 25. Sighing, Elbereth sat on the floor as he closed the message box and looked for a way to open the options menu. As he thought about it, a new pop-up appeared in front of him. Nodding, Elbereth went through the options and set the combat messages to be mostly translucent and go by in his lower left peripheral. He set the damage received messages to red, along with any status effects that would affect him. He could now ignore them or pay attention to them as needed. He pulled up the sensory options, noting that they were set to the maximum and grayed out to his touch. Shrugging, he shifted to all the other options and noticed a mini-map button. Toggling on it, he saw a translucent small map icon pop up in his upper right vision. It showed him a small room with him in it, and that was it.
"Fog of war, eh?" Alberich mumbled.
As he closed down the menus, he heard a faint scraping sound in the hall. Laying on the floor, he looked through the 4-inch tall gap under the door to see hallways stretching off in both directions. To his left and moving toward him was a set of bone feet dragging a thin chain behind it. As it neared, Alberich was able to make out the skeleton, with tatters of cloth on it, walking, dragging the chain behind it. Watching as the skeleton grew closer, Alberich was surprised when a small icon of the creature appeared next to his status bar. It had a name and a single red bar next to a picture of the mob. Lost Key Holder. As the feet moved past the door, just out of reach, Alberich could see a key at the end of the chain, scraping across the floor behind the skeleton. He strained, thrusting his arm as far out under the door as he could, but missed the key. Panting, he slid back and looked out again. He could see the dust on the floor disturbed by his arm. He had fallen an inch or two short of where the drag line for the key had been. Alberich watched the skeleton continue on its way without pausing. Sitting back up, he tried to think of a way to get the key if the skeleton came back. His arm wasn't long enough, obviously, and the room didn't contain anything of use. Brooding for a moment, Alberich tried to think of a way to snag an extra inch or two. Shaking his head, he wished for items that would make a difference that he obviously didn't have. After all, the only thing in the room was the ragged straw pile he had woken on, and the tattered robe he was wearing. Chuckling, Alberich stripped his tattered robe off and fashioned it into a loop as best he could. It gave him a foot of reach and a way to either trip the skeleton or snag the key. Maybe. Smiling, he lay back down and slid the makeshift trap into the hole. After a few attempts, he got it into the path of the mob and settled in for the wait. Time seemed to drag as he lay there waiting, the cold stone floor chilling him slightly as he waited. The demon skin didn't stop him from feeling temperature, sadly. He began to drum his fingers on the floor as he waited impatiently.
Stupid fucking starting place. Trapped in a room with only one way out. He groused to himself.
Eventually, he heard the scraping sound coming this time from his right. Grinning, he made sure he was ready to yank the robe back to him. He was going to try for the skeleton, as it only had 90 health, and would be an easier target to snag than the key. He was still grinning when he could make out in the flickering light the skeleton's feet approaching him. Alberich could feel the tingle of anticipation he always felt before a fight, as he watched the feet draw closer. When the skeleton stepped into the makeshift noose, he tugged with everything he had. He felt the resistance as the skeleton was caught and tumbled to the floor along with the clatter of bones striking stone. He began to reel in the robe quickly, drawing the skeleton's foot under the door, into the room with him. Grabbing it with one hand, Alberich reached out with his other, searching for the chain. The skeleton kicked at him with its other foot, connecting with his searching arm. Wincing at the impact, Alberich noted 2 health tick off his bar. Growling, he yanked on the leg he was holding and felt the door rattle at the impact of the skeleton hitting the other side. "Take that, fucker," he said under his breath, as his hand finally found the metal chain. Just as he began to pull the chain into the room, his hand was grabbed and he felt teeth sink into it.
"Fucker!"
Alberich yelled, as 2 damage ticked off his life bar. But he refused to open the hand holding the chain. Pulling with his hand holding the chain, Alberich was surprised to see the skeleton head still attached to his hand as he retracted it into the room. Letting go of the robe, he lashed out with his left hand at the biting skeleton. He noted a 4-point dip in the skeleton's health bar as his hand connected with the skull. The guardian of the key began to grind its jaw on his hand, causing Albert to cry out in pain as he felt the teeth begin to saw into his hand, breaking the skin and drawing blood. Another 2 damage ticked off his life. Eyes going wide in pain, Albert grabbed the skull with his left hand and bashed it against the floor as hard as he could, taking another fraction of life from it. The impact caused the skull's teeth to cut further into his hand, doing another point of damage. The 2 of them continued to trade damage as the skeleton refused to release his hand from its teeth, as Albert kept smashing its head into the floor. When the skeleton was down to 20 health left, it released his hand and tried to retreat back under the door. Tears of pain and rage dripping from his eyes, Albert cursed it. "Not today, fucker." Releasing the chain, he grabbed its skull in both hands as he braced his feet on the door and shoved off, trying to pull the head off the body. After a moment of resistance, he went sliding across the floor with a skull trophy in his hands. As the head came free, the body stopped moving and collapsed to the floor. Albert lay there panting and bleeding from his severely lacerated hand. After a moment, he sat up, noting his health bar slowly replenishing, when he noticed the blinking square again. "You have defeated the lost keyholder. Gain 100 XP. Albert disabled the XP notifications, thinking that would get old fast. He could always check his XP by opening the character tab if he wanted to. A few seconds later, the pain went away, and his hand seemed uninjured as his health pool became full again. "Vanishing pain. Thank gods," Albert muttered, as he went back over to the door and pulled the chain to him. He discovered it was wrapped around the skeleton's spine and broke it free. Key in hand, he stood up to unlock the door, then opened it and stepped out into the hall. Quest completed. Escape the cell. Receive 100 XP. Smiling at the quest pop-up, he waved it away to check his options for moving forward. A dusty hall went off to the left and right, with other doors evenly on both sides, in both directions, along with flickering torches. "Well, first mission accomplished. Now to find my way out," he muttered, before looking down at the bones and grinning. Bending down, he went to rip a femur free, only to have the corpse vanish while a small bag appeared. Frowning, he touched the bag, and was suddenly holding a femur club, which made him smile. "Acquired 1 makeshift weapon," he chuckled, "but no chain. Damn, it would have been useful." Setting the club aside, he picked up his robe and untied it before donning it. Quest: Escape the Intake Wing. Reward: 500 XP. Club in hand and dressed again, he debated which way to go. He finally turned left in honor of his friend David, who always went left in dungeons. Going to the next door, he tried the key, which unlocked the door, only to find an empty room. "Viewing slits would have been a good idea, game designers," he muttered as he went door to door, checking each room in case there was anything worthwhile. On the 5th door, he found a skeleton climbing to its feet. Albert charged in before it could rise and brought the club down on its skull firmly. He watched 10% of its life vanish from the hit, causing him to chuckle. "So some of the old inmates are mobile as well. Guess I should be a bit more careful," he muttered, dodging back as the skeleton swiped at him with its hands. The ID of the mob told him it was an intake skeleton level 1, 90 over 100 health. The fight was short, with Albert only taking minimal damage, thanks to the demon skin spell negating most of the incoming damage, and being able to deal out more damage with the femur. He checked the log, noting the first hit to the skeleton's head had been a critical, which doubled the damage. He got another femur club off the skeleton he had just killed. He also noted a crack in the femur he had been using. He examined it more closely, which prompted another pop-up. Femur club, 4 damage, 4 out of 10 durability. "So each new kill will net me a new weapon. That's handy," Albert mumbled to himself. He cleared all the rooms down the left hall, only finding one more intake skeleton. The hallway turned right and ended in a large door with a vision port in it. Peeking in, he could make out a large room that was mostly shrouded in darkness. Backing away from the door, he decided to go back and check the other way first. Three skeletons and many rooms later, he found himself at a dead end.
"Well, that answers that question," he muttered to himself, as he retraced his steps and dropped the femur that only had one durability left on it.
He pulled another one from one of the holes he had torn in his robe to hold more femurs. He waited and watched the in-game clock to see how long it took a dropped item to despawn. 5 minutes later, he had his answer, and was wondering if he could cheat the system by picking up and redropping an item to extend the time. Something to test later when he had an expendable item. Before he made it back to the dark room, he pulled a torch from a wall sconce so he could have some light with him. He smirked, thinking back to some of the fucked up things his GM of the old D&D group had run them through. This place would have fit right in. Stopping at the door, he glanced in, seeing straw pallets lined up evenly along the walls, which made him think of a very poor barracks. Pushing on the door, it opened with a tortured screech of rusty hinges. It was odd, as no other door he had opened had done that. Pushing the door all the way open, he put the torch before him into the room to get a better view. Sure enough, it looked like a barracks crossed with a living space. The pallets had what looked like bits of tattered cloth over the straw, and just at the edge of the torchlight, he could make out the shattered remains of what might have been a table. He waited a moment, but didn't see any movement. Still, he didn't trust the situation. Without stepping into the room, he tossed a torch towards the remains of the table. It spun, making crazy shadows before it landed on the wood, which began to smolder. As the table caught fire, Alboret could see one skeleton rising all the way across the room. He targeted the new mob, a level 3 decayed guard, which had tattered pieces of leather armor and carried a wooden club, as it started to shamble towards him. "Fuck, 2 levels above me and equipped," he muttered, stepping into the room and casting about for anything useful. Not seeing anything useful ready to hand, Alboret grimaced and swung on the decayed guard as it came into range. Trading blows with the guard taught him something very quickly, that he didn't stand a chance in a straight-up fight. Alboret's attacks weren't doing the normal 5 damage, instead only doing 1, while the guard pummeled him for 6 with each hit it landed. Backing up, Alboret tried to break the combat, so he could run, only to be pummeled as the mob kept advancing with him. A minute later, Alboret was a ghost floating above his corpse, and letting out a deep sigh as a 2-minute clock counted down. He was able to see the guard shamble back across the room and lay back down on its pallet, thanks to the small fire from the table. 2 minutes later, Alboret found himself back in his cell. A quick inventory showed that he had all of his stuff, including the femur he had been using, which was down to 1 durability.
"Okay, I need a plan," he muttered,
as he pulled the combat log up and looked it over. The leather the skeleton was wearing blocked 4 damage from each of his attacks due to the armor rating. He needed a way to get rid of the leather the thing was wearing, so he at least had a chance. If he could find a way to disarm it, even better, as the high damage it did was an issue. He brooded for a moment, considering all of his options. What did he have access to that could help him, he thought, as he chewed his bottom lip. Sitting back, he shifted his seat, which slid him slightly. Looking down, he found himself sitting on the straw that had been in each room he had checked. A plan formed in his mind, causing him to chuckle before he set out to prep his battlefield. Once he had everything prepared, Alboret picked up 2 torches from the far side of the wing. He tossed one as far across the room as he could, aiming towards the pallet the guard should be on. The torch spun wildly as it flew, landing on the cloth-covered straw pallet the guard lay on. It went up instantly in flame, causing the mob to clamber to its feet. Each second it was in the flame, it lost 5 health. Grinning, knowing his plan would work,
Alberich drew a femur with his free hand and waited as the decayed guard crossed the room. As the decayed guard came into range, Alberich dropped the torch onto the flammable pile of straw under the mob, taking a half-step back as it went up in a blaze. The mob was down to 320 of 350 health, and the fire was steadily taking a toll on both the creature and its armor. The fire was uncomfortable to be near, but it wasn't actively hurting Alberich, so he swung on the guard and was parried. Grimacing, Alberich took a hit to the left arm, which did 5 points of damage. Obviously, this one had more constitution and strength than the other skeletons he had fought. Alberich focused on trying to parry the attacks, while letting the fire damage the guard for him. By the time the fire had burned out, the guard no longer had leather armor, and its club vanished into a puff of ash. The damage the guard was doing to Alberich dropped off to 2 per hit, with the loss of its club. The guard also only had 100 out of 350 health left, while Alberich had 50. Alberich focused all his attacks on the decayed guard's head. Each blow to the head was a critical, which did 10 damage. The guard mindlessly attacked Alberich's chest, doing only 2 damage with each swipe. When the decayed guard finally collapsed into a heap, Alberich was on the verge of passing out with only 30 health left. As the skeleton hit the floor, Alberich was engulfed in a bright light and a loud ding echoed in his ears. When the sound and light faded, he found he was fully healed. Laughing, Alberich shook his head. Level 2 in under an hour, after leaving the first room. Nice. He quickly opened his character sheet to find he had 5 stat points to distribute, as well as a new spell. He checked the spell first, while he considered how to divvy up his stat points. The spell was called Demonic Retribution and did 5 fire damage, ignoring all armor to anyone who attacked the one buffed with the spell. It cost 15 of his mana, but stayed up for 5 minutes. Alberich wondered if he could place it on his imp when he got one next level. He checked the casting requirements. Slapping his hands together along with speaking the word Retribution were the required steps to activate it, then touch the one he wanted to buff. He cast the spell on himself before turning back to his stat points. Alberich chuckled over the fact he was still basically 4 levels higher stat-wise than he should be. He shrugged and evened out the outliers on his stats for now, bringing constitution and charisma up to 10 and 20, respectively. Once he was done placing his stats points, he checked the loot, gaining a new femur club. He snagged a torch before crossing the ashes of the fire that helped him defeat the mob. He entered the room and began to search it for useful items. The room was fairly large, with over 20 pallets along the walls, where he supposed guards would have been if this place was still running, so it took Alberich some time to search. In the end, all he found was a dirty satchel that had been tucked into a corner. Inside was aged meat, a flask that sloshed slightly as he shook it, and there were 8 other spots for things in the grid that appeared when he looked inside the bag, as well as 10 copper which showed on a counter along the bottom of the grid. Slinging the satchel over his shoulder, he transferred all but 2 femurs into it, leaving one in easy reach tucked through one of the holes in his robe, while he equipped the other into his main hand. He crossed to the only other exit from the room, a set of double doors. As he neared the doors, he passed the burned-out remnants of the pallet and saw a glint from the ashes. Stopping to investigate, he brushed the ashes away, revealing a slightly larger key. After that find, he took the time to shred the other pallets, finding a rusty pitted dagger for his trouble along with another 10 copper. He examined the dagger, nodding at what he saw. Rusty pitted dagger, 8 damage, 25 over 50 durability. He reached the door and wasn't surprised to find it locked. The keyhole looked perfect for the key he had just picked up. Inserting the key, he twisted it in the lock and heard a bolt snap open. Chuckling, he pushed the door open. Quest completed. Escape the intake wing. Receive 500 XP. The doors groaned open as he pushed against them. He found a large hallway easily 40 feet wide stretching out before him.
There were 2 5-foot-wide sections of a different colored stone on the floor, adjacent to the walls. Laughing, he shook his head as it reminded him of the guiding lines in jails and prisons. "You guys are funny, going to this length in this area." He chuckled as he stepped into the 5-foot section that prisoners were supposed to walk in. Might as well keep up appearances, he thought. Besides, the other section of floor might be trapped to trigger if a non-guard walked on it. Quest: escape the forgotten prison. Reward: 2,000 XP. 30 feet down the hall, he came to a door with a plaque on it. The plaque identified the room as Records. Albert considered going in, waffling between escaping or exploring. Who knows, he thought. This place might be closed to him once he did escape, and that decided him. Fuck it, he said softly, as he pushed on the door, causing it to open inward. Alberit, Human Summoner, Level 2, Strength 5, Agility 5, Constitution 10, Intelligence 15, Wisdom 15, Charisma 20, Health 200, Mana 250, Spells, Demon Skin, Demonic Retribution, Abilities, None. Exploring. The door swung open silently, making Alberit leery. Stepping into the room, he saw it was mostly empty, a single chest along the back wall, and a desk with chair the only furniture. The only other thing of note was the skeletal clerk that was standing up from the desk, level 2, with 150 over 150 health. It held a letter opener in one hand, and a tome in the other like a shield, as it advanced towards Alberit. Setting the torch down carefully so it wouldn't go out, Alberit quickly cast his demonic retribution and demon skin before arming himself with the dagger and a femur. He thought about using the torch as a weapon, but the book might have useful info and he didn't want to burn it. When the skeleton got into range, it lunged at Alberit with a letter opener. Batting aside the strike with his femur, Alberit returned an attack with the dagger. Alberit chuckled happily as he saw the dagger inflict full damage, 9 points to the mob. The next couple of seconds were parries and blocks by each of the combatants, until the skeleton landed a slight puncture on Alberit. 2 things happened as the blade pierced him. Firstly, Alberit grimaced. This was the first time he'd been stabbed here, and it hurt. Secondly, a flame flickered out from the wound, traveling up the skeleton's arm and bursting in a small pop on its chest, damaging it. Alberit lashed out with his dagger as the mob withdrew the letter opener for another attack, landing a clean hit to its head. After landing the critical, Alberit started to fight more defensively, not wanting to get stabbed again. The earlier damage, while it had hurt, was mostly blunt trauma, which had almost been like full contact sparring in a dojo. Well, minus the first one, where his hand had been getting shredded by teeth. Blocking the next attack, Alberit waited, not taking the small openings which would leave him vulnerable to counters. The fight took longer than it should have, but he only ended up getting stabbed 1 more time. Grimacing until his health returned to full and the pain went away, Alberit shook his head. Full pain sensory at low levels is fucking wrong. So you know, my somewhat benevolent overlords, he said out loud, knowing that the medical staff could hear him. He looted the mob, which netted him the letter opener, book, and a new femur club. Picking up the torch, he examined the desk and was disappointed to discover it had no drawers and nothing on it. Setting the book down, he turned to the chest along the back wall. He nudged the lid and found the thing locked. Sighing, he knelt down and looked more closely at the lock. It was rusty and pitted, but still held the chest closed and he didn't have a key. Sitting down before the chest, Alberit inserted the letter opener and began to fiddle with it, seeing if he could make the lock pop. After several minutes, he'd made no progress, so decided to try bashing the chest with a femur to try and break it open. The top of the chest crumbled inward after 6 blows. The chest contained 8 silver, 6 scrolls, a dry inkwell along with a stylus, and a small shield that fit in the palm of his hand. The front of the shield was engraved with an inscription, "Trusted Guard," and had a pin on the back so it could be attached to clothing. Chuckling, Albert attached the shield to the front of his robe. "I'm a guard again. Surely this won't go badly." Albert laughed as he added the silver to his bag along with the letter opener, before grabbing the scrolls. Carrying them to the desk, Albert opened the first 5, which turned out to be lists of people, listing height, weight, and a short description of their crimes. The 6th one was about him, describing in detail the crime he had committed in the real world. He read through it once, his face going hard, before he placed it on the ground and applied the torch to it, causing it to go up in flame quickly. "Fuck you very much for that, mind blown," he muttered. Turning to the book, he opened it to find a history of the prison he was trying to escape. Imperial Prison Alcatruz had been founded in the year 50 Imperial Reckoning by decree of the Emperor Augustus I. Flipping to the back of the book, Albert found it ended with the prison's completion in the year 75 IR. It was designated to hold the very worst of the Empire's criminals. Shrugging, he placed it in his bag along with the letter opener. Maybe it would be worth something if he reached a city. Standing back up while stretching, Albert made sure to keep the dagger in his main hand as he left the room. Stepping across the line that should divide inmates from guards, he adjusted the badge on his robe and started down the hallway again. Another 50 feet brought him to another door that held a plaque denoting it as processing. He pushed the door open to find a decent-sized room with 3 desks, 2 of which were broken. The sole remaining desk had a skeletal clerk seated at it. The skeleton glanced at him, then looked away and continued to sit there. Albert shifted into a defensive posture as it looked at him, but as it looked away a grin came over his face. Walking into the room, he noted a decayed guard along a back wall, next to a door marked Property. Walking over to the door, Albert pushed on the door to find it locked. Frowning, he turned and saw the key on a chain around the clerk's collarbone. Pursing his lips, Albert tried to think of a way to get the key that wouldn't start a fight. He glanced at the decayed guard, noting the same rotting leather and club the previous one had had. He still didn't have a chance of taking them both on at once, not with the guard having armor and a club. Simply asking for the key crossed his mind, but he dismissed the idea. If this place operated anything like real-world jails, it wouldn't work, as the one who had the key was responsible for everything in that area. Walking through the room, Albert didn't see anything obviously useful. Stopping, he scratched at his chin and considered his options again. He really wanted into the property room. There should be something worthwhile in there, at least. Chewing his lip, he glanced at the room again, when his eyes went back to the broken desks. Chuckling, he began to move the wood to the doorway. Once he had it shifted, he went back to the barracks room and started shifting a few pallets to his pile of wood. Nodding to himself, he went back into the room, making sure he had a clear run to the door. Rebuffing himself with his spells, he walked up next to the guard that was still ignoring him. Once he was ready, he attacked with the dagger right to the guard's skull. He blinked as the combat log showed 36 damage done. Not stopping to figure it out, he ran for the door. The guard turned and began to move after him, followed by the clerk. Once he was past the debris, Albert turned and waited for the 2 skeletons to reach him. Once both were on top of the trap, he touched the torch to the pallets and watched the whole thing go up in flame. Using the torch as a club, Albert focused on parrying the guard's attacks as it stood on the edge of the fire. Taking a few hard hits, Albert grunted in pain as he let the fire do the hard work for him, as it ate away at the health of the 2 mobs who stood in it mindlessly. By the time the fire died out, both mobs were dead, and Albert had regained his health lost to the guard. As he waited for the ashes to cool, he blinked when the badge on his robe vanished in a haze of dust.
What the fuck? He muttered, trying to figure out why the badge would vanish. Chewing his lip as he thought, the only thing he could come up with was that since he attacked the guard, he was no longer trusted or viewed as a guard. Well, fuck it. I hope the property room is worth it. He felt a rumble from his belly. Frowning, he glanced at his buff bar. Two new icons were there indicating he was hungry as well as thirsty. The debuffs indicated that he had 6 hours to find food and drink, or he would be hit with a parched debuff as well as a starving debuff. He nodded. Vicky had told him about the issue with food for long-term immersion. He had 6 hours, and he didn't know how much longer he would be here, so he ignored it for now. A few minutes later, he was able to touch the ash without being burned, so he sifted through it until he found the key for the room. Briefly, he wished that the burned-out wood and straw vanished like the bodies of the mobs he'd killed. Taking the key, he approached the door with a smirk, as he used it to unlock the door before pushing it open. There were open containers all along the walls, on the floor, as well as on shelves. The first one was engraved with a numeral 1, then next had a 2, and so on, around the room.
Just like my old property room.
Wait. My ID number on that scroll had been 13. Alberic went down to the bin with a 13 on it and pulled it off the shelf. Inside, he found a small glass vial filled with a red liquid, a small vial with a blue liquid, a small polished stone with a house etched into it, a slim leather-bound book, and soft leather boots. He looked at the boots, smiling as the description popped up for him. Preserved soft leather boots. Armor 10 for feet. Durability 25 out of 35. He slipped the boots onto his feet, nodding at how perfectly they fit. Once he was done, he checked the other items to find out what they were. Examining the book caused a quest to pop for him. Small healing potion. Restores 50 health. Small mana potion. Restores 50 mana. Homestone. Returns the owner to the last bind point. Soul bound. Preserved book. Maybe someone wants this. Quest. Find a person who wants this eldritch book. Reward, 20,000 XP. Blinking at the quest, Elbert opened the book to see writing in a dark red ink, in a language he couldn't even begin to understand.
It's not Greek, but it might as well be for all the good it does me, he muttered to himself, as he started to put it into his bag.
When he tried to put the book into his bag, it refused to go in. Sighing, he pulled out some of the femurs he had been carrying, dropping them into his bin so he could add the book, potions, and stone to his bag. Once that was done, he began to go through the room checking each bin. In total, he found another 5 silver and 25 copper. There was a lot of ratty or decayed cloth and leather that didn't even show a value for selling them, so he left them. The only other thing of note in the room was a quarterstaff in a corner. Worn trusty staff, 15 damage, 50 out of 100 durability. He put the dagger away before he picked up the staff, and felt better.
Not sure this will make up for the loss of the badge, but a better weapon and boots is worthwhile. Plus a quest with nice XP if I can get out of here, he muttered before shaking his head. Talking to oneself is a sign of insanity, right?
He chuckled darkly before he left the room and went back to the hallway. He found no other rooms, until he came to a set of double doors blocking his way forward. They had bars and glass set in them, so he peeked in to see a room with 2 decayed guards standing in the middle of the room. Considering his options, Alberic wondered if it was worth hauling more wood and straw down to the door to trap these two. Reluctantly, he decided it wasn't worth the effort, since the door was wide enough for the mobs to simply move around him. He pondered the previous fights with the guards, then the new weapon he had picked up. He would be able to deal way more damage than he had with the femurs. Add on top of that the fact they would be harming themselves when they hit him,
due to his demonic retribution spell, and he smiled. He opened the doors, which groaned loudly, causing the two skeletons to turn to face him. Setting the torch down carefully, Elbert waited, but the skeletons didn't approach him.